The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The bottlenecks and waiting lists in our health system have been well documented. Hundreds of thousands waiting for some form of treatment. But another waiting list doesn't get much of a mention, and it can adversely impact many of us. And that is the current shortage of high-volume older medicines familiar to one and all. Why is it happening? What can be done to address this shortage? Well, I'm joined by the president of the Irish Pharmacy Union, Dermot Toomey. Dermot, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
In what areas are there shortages at the moment?
I mean, it's across the spectrum. I just had a quick look this morning on our shortage list that we get from the IPU each month, and a rough head count is that there's 550 lines, dispensary lines that are short at the moment. In particular, there are some key areas such as paracetamol and prednisolone. Now, both of these would be used in respiratory illnesses and obviously through COVID. And it's just, I suppose, it's unacceptable that at this stage of the season that these key medicines are not available for the public.
It seems extraordinary. I mean, you used to be able to buy a big tub of paracetamol if you wanted it very readily. What has gone wrong, either in the manufacture or supply of such a common product like paracetamol?
So there's a number of issues, Pat, and I suppose what we need to do, and we need state agencies to get involved here, is to do some root cause analysis as to why certain products are short. Sometimes this could be a manufacturing issue, it could be a distribution issue, and it could be a pricing issue. And very often it's a combination of all three. And I suppose what's happened over the years is that the price of very many of these common medicines has been driven down to such a level that it's either uneconomic or there are better or easier markets in order to distribute these products in Europe. So, you know, as you know, we're an island on the western seaboard of Europe with a small market. And ultimately, it may be more profitable to market these lines in other jurisdictions, particularly when there are shortages across Europe.
Yeah. Now, if I'm a private patient and I have money in my pocket, can I buy paracetamol?
So the smaller packs of paracetamol are available at the moment. They may well go short, but we have them in my pharmacy in Cloyne. What we're talking about here is the dispensary products. So
yeah, you're talking about the GMS. In other words, when drugs are supplied to patients free of charge, or you know they have a minimum to pay or a maximum to pay every month, it's the pricing agreed by the HSE with the drug suppliers that might be at the heart of it, whereas when they can flog them to the private patient, there's no shortage at all. Is that a fair analysis?
Well, ultimately... Ultimately, this issue is affecting all patients because it's dispensary stock. It's products that come into the pharmacy. Now, in terms of an item like paracetamol, a private patient can buy a pack over the counter. But if we're going on to, I suppose, medicines such as prednisolone, which is used for respiratory illness, Oxynorm, which is used for severe pain, they are products that are prescription only, regardless. And the issue is going to affect all patients. And the other issue that's happening is that many products now are on what's called allocation. So our wholesalers are basically deciding that you can only have a certain amount of products per month. And that is causing consternation with patients because they're coming in to get their regular medicines, whether it's for epilepsy, whether it's for diabetes, and they're finding that we can't supply them. And ultimately, we're I suppose, the gatekeeper. We're there at the end of the chain. And it's very, very difficult for pharmacy, but extremely difficult for the patients that all of these issues are happening upstream of where we're dispensing from.
Now, the question then of the wholesalers not having the supplies or not sourcing the supplies to sell to you, I mean, are they fit for purpose, these wholesalers? Should the state be in business with people who can't fulfil contracts?
So I suppose what I would say, Pat, is look, going back to my earlier point, we need some root cause analysis to work out why these procurement issues are happening. We also need a single state agency in Ireland to be responsible for procurement. So as I understand it, there is no state agency involved in that process. And ultimately, we find out at the last minute when we go to order a product that these products are short. So the state needs to stand up and be involved here and try and ensure that around certain key medicines that Ireland are able to procure those, have them available for patients. Because I suppose ultimately what we're looking at, Pat, is that if patients can't get these key medicines, there are going to be downstream effects.
Sure.
We're talking about, if you're looking at prednisolone and medicines of a similar ilk for respiratory illness, we're now in the middle of winter. people are going to end up on A&E.
How much might this have to do with Brexit, that our supply lines came through Britain and now it's just more complicated and troublesome and tiresome to deal with them?
Yeah, look, I think that is certainly one of the points there. And but ultimately, this is a product that has been, this has been an issue that is occurring across Europe. It's not just local to Ireland. The issue is we're not getting the products into Ireland. Now, there is a potential solution for some areas where, in the UK, for example, when there are defined medicine shortages, pharmacists can therapeutically substitute. So this is something we were looking to do earlier in the summer when there was a large cohort of HRT medicines that weren't available. And we made a proposal to the minister and to the department that pharmacists in those scenarios where there are defined shortages could substitute for an alternative product where one is available. But that's not always the case.
Yeah. I mean, paracetamol has a particular therapeutic effect, which is very different, for example, to ibuprofen. So, you know, if a doc recommends ibuprofen, paracetamol might not be a good substitute and vice versa. On the other hand, for simple pain, you know, toothache or whatever, you might go either way.
No, absolutely. I mean, as I said to you, I had a quick look this morning, about 550 different lines affected. I had a conversation yesterday with a patient of mine in the pharmacy, and he was asking me, he says, is the reason I can't get them is that they don't trust me to mind them or that I'll take too many. So unfortunately, the narrative there for the patient is you know, it's not a good scenario. And ultimately, what we're looking to do is to ask the public and to have patience with pharmacy that a lot of these issues, in fact, all of them are upstream of us, and we are doing our best every day in order to cure the medicines.
Nope.
But as I say, there is a serious issue there.
When you talk about substitution, sometimes it's very straightforward. You've got a generic equivalent, which has the same formulation as the proprietary medicine, and you can substitute the generic. In fact, it's routinely done in pharmacies. But if, say, a HRT product is not available and another HRT product is, you know, formulated differently or delivered differently, is a pharmacist competent to make that switch?
So look, in other countries, Pat, it has been done and it's been shown to be effective. I mean, what we're looking at is, what's called a serious shortage protocol. So it would be for certain medicines at certain times. And ultimately, what you're talking about is maybe substituting a gel to a patch, or you might be looking from a patch to a cream or a cream to a tablet. And pharmacists, as we know, we are the experts in medicines and therapeutics. We do pharmaceutics in college, so we understand about drug delivery, about dosing and that. So we're very competent and would be comfortable to do that under certain protocols, absolutely.
So are you looking for those protocols to be written down for the specific drugs that are threatened to be in short supply to be listed, and the therapeutic alternatives to be also listed? And because you don't want to be sued if something goes terribly wrong.
No, absolutely. Look, I think what we need to do is we need to go back to stage one, and ultimately the state and the department need to get a handle on this and need to look at the issues that are causing it. In terms of ourselves, absolutely. I think what we need is we need this protocol in place, but also we need to be nimble and we need to be agile and we need to be able to move as and when the situation arises. You know, you alluded to earlier, Pat, about medical card patients. Many medical card patients, let's say, for example, certain products have a code and they're allowed. Other products that won't have a code and are not allowed. So that will hit them in the pocket if we have to substitute for a different product that isn't licensed. So again, we're asking the state to be nimble here, to give codes for these products so that medical card patients won't have to pay any extra.
Okay, the idea being that this would happen when there is an acknowledged shortage, that kind of protocol would kick in.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You're not looking for carte blanche that you can substitute at will?
No, not at all. I mean, as I say, this issue is really about supply and it's about access for patients and keeping patients well and keeping them out of hospital. So no, not at all. What we're looking for is the state to take this issue seriously, to involve pharmacists in as part of the solution. But there are many stakeholders involved, and that the state would be nimble and would make changes as and when shortages become an issue and that pharmacists can be involved in the solution. Now, there are some scenarios where there is no alternative. I think there's 73% of medicines from our data there is an alternative available, but either there's a cost issue or it isn't coded, or pharmacists can substitute. Unfortunately, the other 27% of products is going to be an issue because there isn't an alternative for those.
No alternative. So what happens? Patients die.
Well, ultimately, as I said to you, I think we need to really take this issue seriously. I mean, on the coalface, each day, you know, pharmacies up and down the country, we're spending between 2 and 3 hours trying to procure products, trying to get allocations, trying to look at alternatives. It's not sustainable because what we're doing is we're spending our time on these technical aspects of our job, where we actually want to be spending the time counselling and advising our patients and giving them the service that they need. So as I say, this issue needs to be taken seriously by the government. You know, it's like a train running down the track, getting faster and faster. And
yeah.
It is something that has to be looked at.
Yeah. And by the way, you keep mentioning involved. Government. Is this a HSE decision, or does a minister have to get involved?
I think ultimately the Department of Health and the minister need to be involved in this. You know, over a number of years, you'd be aware, Pat, that many of the medicines that have come off patent have been reduced in price. But unfortunately, it's got to the stage where some of them now, it's so uneconomic to manufacture and, say, license them in the Irish sector that companies are deciding to go elsewhere or not at all. And that's having another impact. So, as I say, it needs a kind of a holistic approach.
Yeah. Finally, Dermot, I should ask you whether or not you've other sources of supply. I know you said it's a pan-European problem, but could you go to a German wholesaler? Could you go to a Spanish wholesaler? We constantly hear about cheaper drugs being available in pharmacies in Portugal, Spain, and so on. Or is it? Are you stuck with the Irish wholesalers who can't get supply for you?
Look, we have to deal with the Irish wholesalers. There are some parallel.
Is that because of licensing?
It's a licensing issue. But I suppose going back to your point there, the reality is many of these medicines, the ones that are difficult to procure, the price of those has been driven to such a level where it has, in some cases, become uneconomic to license or supply them in Ireland, which is another issue.
Dermot Toomey, IPU President, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.